又他妈跟我说一次。
Good morning, church. Oh, let me do. I heard Wally. You can't let Wally like go over all y'all. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
That's my choir. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are few today, and that's okay. There's a fantastic story in Scripture about some guys dropping a friend of theirs through the roof. Y'all know the story, right? He wasn't doing real well, and so they got the roof uncovered, and they dropped the boy down, and Jesus getting, you know, dirt in his hair and all that. And at the end of it, he says, for your faith, he's healed. For your faith, he's healed. Isn't it interesting? Sometimes our faith can be an aid to others, a love to others. We got a lot of people who are sick today. They're out. A lot of people are traveling today and they're out. A lot of people who just can't be here for different reasons, and yet we gather here with our faith, and maybe part of our gathering here is to keep this thing running and to bring healing to those who aren't here, who allowing our faith to bring faith to those who can't make it this morning. And so recognize our worship isn't just our worship. Our worship is this community of faith's worship, which includes our friends that couldn't make it this morning. So when we lift our voice, remember, we're lifting our voice for them as well, because they're our family. And so let's keep them in mind as we worship. Amy? Good morning, sister.
All right, announcements. So for online prayer requests for later in service, text or email requests to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com. Welcome to those of you who are online. And then we'll have Jenkins Kids and Child Care as needed. For food needs, so there's been a lot of demand lately for food, and we need your help. So please check the bulletin for Jenkins Emergency Food Closet needs. And then we're still collecting cereal this week.
Susan, how are we doing on the food closet? Anything we need to know?
One of the things I've learned is that if you ask this much for something, you get loaves and fishes.
So if you ask for green beans, you get fish? That doesn't work.
Music City Melody is today at 5 p.m. here at Jenkins.
Okay, I got to steal this one too. I'm sorry to do it,
but I got to.
We have a celebrity in the house. Wally, thank you. Wally is the guy that puts these, that writes these, produces them, directs them. Do you act in them? I don't even know. You don't act in them? Do everything else. Wally's the one that does it. Good friend of mine now. We've struck a relationship. Wally is one of the few people in the world outside of this church that will call me up just to ask me how I'm doing. There are not many people that do that in this world, and that's one of them right there. So thank you for being friends with me. Wally has offered us to if we want to come tonight, it's at 5? At 5 o'clock, come on, he said. And we do have the coupon code. If you would purchase a ticket, it helps out. But if you just need to come on anyway, and we're going to get the house. We want to make sure there's a lot of people here for the play today. And I just want to thank you for joining us, brother. So, yeah, awesome. Sorry to steal that, but how long is the play?
6.5 hours.
Okay. No intermission, right? No, we don't need no intermission.
It's just 90 minutes.
90 minutes. There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Cool.
Awesome.
Good to know. Good to know. Sorry, I have to get up bed really early tomorrow.
We'll have you home by 7.
Sounds awesome. All right. Rutherford County Hymn Sing. This is going to be November 1st from 5 to 7 p.m. at Zion Hill Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So if you need that address, there it is.
Seth and his brother are putting that together.
Right.
In fact, Seth may be over there this Sunday if I'm... Is he today? Mm-hmm.
Potluck lunch next Sunday, November 2nd, It's the early Thanksgiving dinner. The church will provide the turkey, bring your favorite sides and desserts.
There's already been a banana pudding request by Steve, so if there's not one, I'm in trouble.
All right. Any other announcements? All righty. Let's open our hearts and minds to God. Please rise for our call to worship. This is from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise.
Let's give God a prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that we get to rest here. That we get to come into this place and we just get to let some stuff go at the door. Lord, we bring some stuff in with us too, but we let some stuff go at the door and we come in to a place where we have our family and our friends, our loved ones, where we come into a community of worship where we trust one another and we lift each other up and we can come in and we can relax and just worship you. We can just call on your name. We can say thank you. We can plead to you. We can fall at your knees and we can raise our... We can do whatever we choose, Lord, because we're at peace in this place. We're comfortable in this place and we're safe in this place because we love one another in this place. And so we ask then that you allow our hearts to be full. Remind us of the things all week long that we've seen of you. We've seen you time and we've seen you time again. And so remind us of those moments. Remind us to say thank you. Remind us to turn back and say thank you to you like the one did when the nine kept walking. We ask you this, Lord, because we want to recognize you. We want to see you everywhere. And then we want to call on your name because you are wonderful. Lord, bless our time together in this place. And God's people said,
I would like to point out that this is the first hymn in the hymnal. So let's all sing like we are happy to be here and joyful, joyful, how much we adore being here.
Now time.
scripture of assurance today is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted.
I was trying to think of what I was going to say about this, and I still don't know. It's one of those improv classes. Because I was going to say, I've never found myself in either of those situations purely. Like, Jesus likes to set up some, like, this or this moments, right? There's not a lot of gray space sometimes when he gives these parables and things or these talks. But then I realized, yeah, I have been both. In fact, I'm probably always both of those. I probably always live a little bit like a Pharisee. Thank God I'm not that. And that's always going to exist in me because I got pride, man. There's always that notion that, well, thank God I'm not. But I'm also living in that moment where I do realize, man, I'm broken. I am broken. And God has stitched me back together. Thank God. You know, God has rescued me from ways of thinking and being and acting and doing and all that. And so do I live in either one of these? I don't know. Maybe we all live sort of in the swirl of both of these. And so what's the assurance that if we can find that humility, that if we can find our way to giving up some of that pride, that there's a Christ that says, man, just welcomes us in and brings us into this community of faith, of this love and this grace and this mercy in this beautiful way, and says, you don't have to be all that. You don't have to be great. Just be real with me. Just be real with your neighbors. Live in such a manner as you love other people as much as you love yourselves. And when you back off from that and you mess it up, come to me anyway and continue to love. And it's okay. You're part of this thing. You're good. And to me, that's such an assuring moment because I live in both of these all the time. And yet, God calls us out of one into the other. And we're always growing, trying to be a little more humble in our lives. That assurance that we don't have to do it ourselves is such a blessing because we can't. It makes us a Pharisee every time we try. So let's go into the world continuing to see how humble we can get in the name of the Lord and watch what kind of assurance that will bring us when God accepts us anyway. Let's sing to that God.
So we're going to continue being joyful because He lives.
Thank you.
Is anybody to go to Jenkins Kids? Oh, we have.
Thank you, Sarah Polly, for taking care of the young ones this morning. We had a good time last night. Who went? Who was there last night? We had a good time last night. We got together at Strasser Farm. Thank you all again for hosting us. It was a wonderful time. And I got there. We got there a little bit late. We had some things going on. A little bit late. And y'all ate a bunch. Can I just say that loud? Y'all had a lot of food, man. Like, y'all had a lot of food. And so I walked up and I got, who makes the Cheez-It things that have the stuff on them? Somebody makes it all the time. No, somebody knows who makes those things. The Cheez-Its with the, they're soaked in something and all this. Who did this? I can't believe y'all gonna lie to me, act like you don't know who this is. Anyway, I got some of those, and it gets, and as I'm sitting there, I just started smiling because y'all had gone off on the hayride, and everybody's just kind of sharing and laughing and stuff. And I was like, man, this is what it's supposed to be like right here. Like this is what it's supposed to be like. We all get together and we share and we have fun and we laugh and I started thinking about a second ago when I was thinking about what I wanted to say about the offering. That is an offering. When we all come together and just, I see nods. When we all come together and we just share in life's goodness and we share our time and we share our talents with one another and we share our love for one another and we share our kindness to one another. So we got there, like, come on, you going with us? I didn't go. But just the care of someone immediately saying it, that's what it's supposed to be like. And I wonder if part of offering is recognizing what the world is supposed to be like and then giving into that a little bit. Just giving to it. I know this world is supposed to be loving and caring, and it's supposed to be graceful, so I'm going to give into that. Maybe that's part of what it is. So thank you for your offering. Thank you for giving yesterday and just making it wonderful. Thanks for your giving today. Thanks for giving all the time. And thank you for recognizing that we give not because it's an obligation, but because we're trying to give in to the beauty of what this kingdom has provided us and what provides all of creation. So thank you for giving. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, thank you for the gift of this church. Thank you for that we have a place here of Christian ministry. Thank you that we have a place of Christian education, of worship, where we have the day school, where we have all of our activities that we do. We thank you, God, for the giving that goes on here so that we can sustain the functions of this body of Christ. Thank you, God, for that. But thank you, Lord, also for us just being able to give into your creation. You have made this beautiful world, and as we give to one another, as we share with one another, we get to show how wonderful it is. So thank you, God, for that too. We ask you, Lord, to keep showing us where we can give best in all situations. And we ask that, Lord, in your name.
And we then also ask, Lord, that you send us into this time of studying the scripture, of the sermon. We ask, Lord, that you make the scripture stand out, that what words of mine come out that are no good to your scripture, to your gospel, that they not ever be heard. But what is of yours, Lord, let it ring out so that we don't only hear it here, but we live it out everywhere so that others can hear it too. And we ask this in your name. And God's people said,
so Whitney's going to have to be jealous of me again today.
That's right.
So scripture reading is James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face various trials, consider it all joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance complete its work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing.
Thank you, sister. Some of y'all recognize the sermon title. I thought I was going to go with the whole practice. I didn't go that direction. Sorry, Alex. I was going there, man. I failed. I want to instead do this. I want to start with this line. It's going to show up a few times. I want to hear it because I think it's got some truth to it as we start listening to the sermon. A habit is a trail. Repetition clears it. But God's love, though, must choose where it goes. Let me start this morning where I really didn't start. Even as a product of Kentucky and of the South, I never really grew up much in the woods. I wasn't much of a hunter growing up or anything like that. That wasn't my upbringing. I went squirrel hunting one time with my dad. when I was a little kid. Some other people went too. I don't remember who it was, but I went with my dad, a little guy. He gave me a 20 gauge or something and put me up against a tree and said, here, watch that area. And so that's what I did. I wasn't sure why I watched that area. He just told me to. And so that's the area I watched for about 4 minutes. I got bored. I know you're shocked, but I got bored. I was like, boy, I really want to shoot this shotgun. I bet if I act like there's a squirrel out there and I shoot, and I'll just tell them that I missed it, that I won't get in trouble for shooting the gun. And that's what I did, and nobody knew any wiser at all. That was my plan, worked to perfection, except then we didn't see any more squirrels the rest of the day. Later on, I went deer hunting. First few times I went, I went with my dad. I went with somebody, and they said, hey, took me to a tree, and then, hey, watch this patch of woods. Shoot if you see one. And I never knew why I was in that particular spot. I don't know that the people who put me there knew why I was in that particular spot, but that's where they put me, and so that's what I do. First time I went was with my buddy Kevin. His dad had a farm, and mom and dad, and so we went out, and it was cold. Boy, I remember how cold it was, and so he said, there's the tree. And so I climbed up in the tree and I was watching my set of woods before daylight came. So after a few minutes, I heard some rustling around down below me. I couldn't figure out exactly what it was. I didn't know what it was. I couldn't see anything. And you know how it is in the woods. You start hearing stuff in the woods at night when you can't see anything. It's, you know, whatever it is. When it finally went away, I didn't hear it anymore. It just went away. That's kind of weird. And first rays of sunlight kind of started dancing through the skies. I could see that the sun was coming up, but I really couldn't see anything still. The shadows were turning into things now, you know, but I couldn't really see anything yet. And as God is my witness, y'all, the first ray of light suddenly came from this direction, pierced through the trees and shot down right underneath my stand, right there. And I looked at something caught my eye, and I looked down, and a little bitty deer was curled up underneath the stand. Just little bitty. She stood up when the ray sunlight hit her, and stood up, and she stretched real long, and then she just meandered off like nothing was going on. I never knew if Mama was there or not. I saw her. It was just this little deer. She didn't know anything about what was going on with me. Had no clue I was there. And so she just walked off. She didn't know anything was out of the ordinary. So I was thinking about that this sermon this week. I started thinking about that. And I started thinking about this scripture. And I thought about that deer. She just kept going because nothing felt off at all to her. Her habits held. Her routine held. She never had any thought to do anything other than she did the night before. And that memory made me curious about something. We humans, me, am I drawn along the same old paths that I always walk without ever really thinking about it? Well, I just walk them unless something shocks me into doing something else. And that made me think. A habit is a trail. Repetition clears that trail. But God's love must choose where it goes. I started hunting a lot more when I came to Nashville. Met a guy at a dove field of all. I don't hunt anymore because I don't eat meat. Y'all know that. But I met a guy at a dove field, and come to find out he had 100 acres of land out by Burn. Beautiful land. Had like three creeks on it. It's gorgeous. And so I met him, ended up having full access to it. And so when I learn something, I want to start doing something. Shock face again. I know I jump in head first. I will learn everything about it that I can. And that's how I get into things. And so I started learning everything I could about deer. And what I learned is deer that just don't walk around anywhere. You don't just stumble upon them. They don't just happen to stumble upon you when you're in the woods. They tend to do the same thing over and over because it's easier that way. So as I learned how deer work, I began to see deer even when I didn't see them. I'd see trails, and I'd know that was a heavily traveled trail. I'd see the marks on the ground, the prints. I'd know if that's a big buck or a little bitty deer. I knew the scrapes on the ground. I could see the rubs on the trees. There was sign of them everywhere. And there is sign from everywhere when you're in deer land. And here's the thing about them. They don't eat and bed in the same area. Did you know that? Deer don't eat and bed in the same area. It's actually, if you mapped it, it looks sort of like a dumbbell. You have one area where most of the deer bed, and then it's kind of a circular area. Then you have another area over here, kind of a circular area maybe, that's where they feed. And then there's usually a thin strip in the middle where the deer travel. And that's how often you can find them. If you can find out where the deer goes, then you can see him time and time again. Anyway, I used to hunt daylight to dark. One of the last times I went into a tree stand that based on the wind that morning, I thought it was going to be perfect. Think about it like this. Think about it. It's like a football field, and I entered on one end, and the stand is on the 50-yard line, but on the sidelines. And so I had to make my way there. To get in the stand's a little tricky. You have to walk along the edge of the field, and then when you get to the tree, you got to squeeze between the tree and some bushes and around the backside and climb up, and that's how you get into the stand. And so that morning I got there real early, real early. Clothes on that were in was in the soap that took the smell away. I drove over to the farm and I parked. I sprayed my stuff. It takes the smell away if you got any smell on you. And then I started walking. And I walked down the path and I got to the field and I got to the edge of the field and I made my way down the tree line. I got to my tree and I squeezed between that tree and that bush, and I barely remember just grazing the bush, just barely with my coat. Couldn't help it. Tight area. Anyway, hunted all morning, didn't see a thing, but I stayed all day. It was a big stand. I took something to eat with me and something to drink and took a nap. That's probably when the big one walked by, though, was when I was taking the nap. Later on that afternoon, I was back on the hunt. Somewhere mid-afternoon, something caught my eye in the tree line. I couldn't tell what it was, and then all of a sudden a doe walked out. She's a big doe too, and that's what we hunted for. We ate it. We didn't hunt for bucks or anything like that. Does taste better. But you don't ever want to shoot a doe because you don't know if mama could maybe have babies around somewhere. And so I was watching and just being real careful. In the South, mamas can have the babies with them all, you know, almost year round. And so when the doe stepped out, she was the healthy one, and I sat there and watched a minute, and then I saw it. Little baby walked out behind her. How precious is this? And so I put the gun against the tree, you know. A few minutes later, they were kind of moseying around, and then started walking my way. And before it was over with, dude, they were right underneath the, like, right, I could have jumped on her back and rode her, you know. They were nuzzling against one another. The little one would lay down for a while, and mom would walk off, and then the little baby would jump up all legs, you know, and try to run over to mom. It was just precious, man, and it kept happening. This went on for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know how long it was. It was a while. They were so content. They were doing what they always did, following their routines and their habits, and they were just so happy. All of a sudden, though, mama paused. She just stopped stone cold, and she stuck that nose in the air. And she went over to that bush where that tree met it, and she leaned as far forward as she could without getting there, and she sniffed the exact spot where I'd rubbed against it 8 hours early now. 8 hours I had brushed it, and she sniffed it, and boy, that flag went up. Her tail went from twitching and happy to straight up, and she huffed real loud. About 3 leaps later, she was in the woods across the way. Little baby just run as fast as she could trying to get over there to her. She was gone, dude. She was gone. I was amazed. 8 hours later, and one little thing like that caused her to act in such a different manner, scared, protective, one little whiff, and chances are she didn't go that same place for a while. You know, her habits had changed. She went a different way. One faith whiff of difference, and she acted like danger had arrived. She wasn't in danger. She thought she was. But she jumped down that trail of fear because that's the trail she runs down when she gets scared. And I remind us, a habit is a trail. Repetition clears it, but love must choose its path. You've been in a plane and you look down and they look like ants down there. You ever done this? They just look like, or maybe they're deer. You know, maybe it's everybody walking their trails, because goodness knows we got our deer trails. We just pave them and call them roads is the only difference. We have areas where we sleep. We have areas where we work. We have areas where we play. We have church. We have, you know, visit people. We have other habits. The people who we're with, the ways we live, the things we believe, the ways we act in this world, we live them out over and over and over again, walking the same ground over and over again, because we have our habits. We have our trails that we walk. We're creatures of habit. And to get us out of our habits, would better be one big jolt, huh? A habit's a trail. Repetition clears it. But love must choose where it goes. You ever wonder why we have habits? Like, what causes us to have habits? Why do we do something 15 times and 16 times becomes easier? Have you ever asked, like, why do we have habits anyway? And so I started thinking about that. And habits, I mean, anything we do over and over, not just a habit, but anything that we do that we think is right, anything we do that maybe we think is wrong, or maybe it's neither one, or maybe we don't know. We just think it's right or harmless. Why do we have routines and rituals and ways of doing things? I read the reason maybe we need the trails in our world, our routines, our habits, our ideologies, whatever, is that we have to make order out of a chaotic world. This world is chaotic. This world is things coming at you all the time from different ways. And so it would be hard to survive without our ways of being habitual about things. If we didn't have an automated way of dealing with stuff, then we couldn't categorize things. We couldn't make assumptions about things. If we didn't take the same trails over and over and over, well, life would be a challenge, man. Think about it this way. A normal morning happens. You wake up, you make coffee. First thing, maybe you scroll the news, take a shower, you know, get dressed, head out the door. These are the things you do on any normal morning. Now wait for the power to be off that morning. No lights, no coffee maker, no hot water, no nothing. Suddenly you have to think about every choice you make, right? And that becomes so difficult and so challenging. How do I make coffee without a coffee pot? Where's the flash? How do I iron something if there's no power? What's the garage door code again? I can't get the door up. And that's just one small disruption that throws off everything. It's not that you've forgotten how to live. It's that your habits were carrying all the decisions for you, and you were going about it without ever thinking about it once. And that's why we have habits. They're shortcuts through chaos. But shortcuts can also be a challenge. They deliver us to the same assumptions every time we walk down the path. If we continue walking in our habits of the way we think, we have the same positions in life that don't change. We have the same beliefs. We do the same actions. We have the same desires. We have the same wants again and again and again. A habit is a trail. Repetition clears it, but love must choose where it goes. I was told one time, if I have access to somebody's bank account and calendar, I can pretty much tell whatever I need to tell about them. If I can find out where your money is and where you spend your time, that's really all I need to know about what you do in life. I think that's changed a little bit. I think we could do some other things today. I think we could say, if I know what channels on TV you watch, I kind of know what you're about. If I know what podcast you listen to, I'm pretty sure I can tell a little bit about what you're about, which, and I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think this stuff is killing us, y'all. I think this stuff is killing us. If I know which propaganda news source you can watch, what you call news, I can tell a little bit about you. You know what drives me nuts anymore? Because, well, it shows how far we've fallen. It amazes me that I hear so many people shout about how you can't trust news people anymore. You can't trust the news. But then the same people that say that turn around and mainline their news sources. You know? It's not the news, y'all, it's us. We watch opinions because well-worn trails feel better than breaching the unknown. Our trails are what we side with. It's who we care for. It's about walking that way of Christ. Let me give you an example. So often we're told that we can tell how a society is doing by how the best of these people are doing. So what do we look at when we want to tell how the society is doing? We look at the stock market. We look at billion-dollar deals, you know, whatever. When's the last time someone demanded that we judge how society is doing by how the least of these exist? Well, no, that is not a well-worn trail, and so we don't say that in this Christian nation of ours. I'm going to get in trouble for this one. I don't care this morning. Why, Governor Lee, why will you not spend 5% of a $2.2 billion rainy day fund that Tennessee has, the biggest ever, by the way, that Tennessee has ever had, $2.2 billion rainy day fund. You know how much it would cost to give all the Tennessee people the SNAP benefits for November that they will not get because of the shutdown? About 5% of that. And Governor Lee has said, no, I can't do that. No, Governor Lee, people are hungry. The least of these needed. Use 5% of that rainy day fund to care for your people, but that's not our habit. I don't know. I think today it feels like our trails are turning into ruts. There's no way to find our way out of our trails because the sides of the trails push us back to the center of our own trail so often. And so when we're on one side, we get stuck there. And when we're on the other side, we get stuck there. Even when we try to get out, we can't. I hear people condemning the both sides argument all the time, but then they only condemn the violence on the other side. We can't think any other way anymore. We're so stuck in our trails. The other way is the bad way. This is the good way. That's how our society terms everything anymore. And to get out of them is to buck up against a world that will not let you change your place. Stay in your lane, it says. Church, our ruts are deep these days, man, and they're killing us. Truth be told, they probably already always have, though. I got a friend that's a tracker. Wes knows him. He's a guy's Blake. He's a preacher down near Winchester. If somebody goes missing in the world, Blake is one of the people they call to go find him. And so, anyway, Wes will tell you all about him. They played, what'd y'all play? Hide and seek one time with him. And y'all hid, the kids hid at the church camp. And Blake found him in like 4 seconds, right? But Blake went and hid, and y'all looked for him for how long? Never did find him, right? He's good at that game. Don't play hide and seek with Blake. I was talking to Blake while we were back in school years ago. I said, how do you find people, man? How do you do that? I asked him, how do you go into the woods and determine whether this is the place where somebody is going to go or whatever? And he said, it's really easy. He said, you look for what is different. That's all you do. You look for what's different. You look for what seems natural but has been changed just a little bit. Crushed grass. A little bent twig. He said anything like that will show you that there's just enough difference that it's not the same as it was. Stay on the same road or the main path if you don't want to be found, he said. You don't want to be found, just get on a road where everybody else is because nobody can find you then. But he left no trace, no trail, no nothing. He made a new way and nobody could see. He hit on top of one of the buildings, didn't he? Didn't he find his way on top of one of the buildings? That's where he hid. No wonder the kids couldn't find him. I think that's how our moral and spiritual trails form too. We make small deviations and then we repeat them and we do it again and again and again until something feels natural about it. A habit is a trail. Repetition clears it, but love must choose where it goes. I know this is a weird way to get around to it, but I really believe that James is saying that the wise person is careful about what trails they walk in this world. The ways we tend to think, the ways we tend to act, our ideas on right and wrong in the world, the ways we see culture in others, our attitudes towards things. I believe a way to understand what James was writing is that wisdom is to know our paths, not just walk them, but know why we walk them and where they're going. Stick with me. I want to read this again. This is James 1, 2 through 4 again. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I want to define two words there just real quick. The first one is trial. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of any kind. We probably hear that trial as an ordeal. When we hear of a trial, we think it's going to be awful and terrible because maybe we've been in a trial and they're awful and terrible. We may think of it like a courtroom. We may hear it as oppression because so many people in the first century were dealing with that, but we have to understand that that's not what James was talking about either. He was talking about something different. The word means more temptation. Consider it pure joy when you face temptations of many kinds. Because the pressure or temptation to tug us back into the world, boy, it is tough, tough, tough to stay off those world's trails when it tempts us back in. Eye for an eye, how easy is it to fall back on that trail? Money wins, how quick is it easy to fall into that trail? Power, might, us over them wins. Division wins. In our world today, division is everything. Lusts and prides win. Envy and greed wins. Dishonesty wins. Talking bad about people wins. This is what we're told wins time and time and time again. It is a trial not to walk those paths. Church, it's hard, man. Especially when we taught those trails are the right ones to walk. Especially when those trails existed before we ever came into this world and we were just told those are the ones to walk down because they're comfortable. And when we walk down them by the world standards, you know what? We do win. We win what the world offers. But James asks or says, wisdom comes by how we handle those temptations. Do we even acknowledge they're a trial? Or are we just blindly walking down the roads we've always walked because they feel so right to walk them? The second word is perseverance. We might say another word is endurance. But James' point is if we recognize this new path, if we stay on it long enough, it will become a habit. We'll persevere, we'll endure, and it'll make us whole. Perseverance says that we can walk the same path tomorrow that we walk today, even though that place is not smooth sailing. Instead, endurance puts us on a path that doesn't go where the world goes. It goes to paths of joy. It goes to paths of unity and peace and grace and mercy and all those beautiful things that we know are a part of the kingdom, the Jesus ways, by the way. And so in every temptation, we're called to find that new path and keep walking that new path and keep walking it and keep walking it and keep walking it until that path is worn and we know that it goes to where God called us to go. That's wisdom, according to James, the kind that comes from God. I guess what I mean is that habits are trails. Our ways of being, our ways of thinking, our ideologies, they're all suspect. Because by nature, I don't mean to alarm you, we're a little suspect. I can make anything I believe believable if I walk that trail long enough. Any road starts looking like the only road when that's the only one you're ever on. If I believe something and I do something over and over and over, then I won't be able to see it in any other way at all. And in the demanding world, in a demanding world that keeps telling us over and over and over that y'all, that you and I in this room are enemies to each other. In a world that says that in this room, because you and I may believe different in some things, that we're enemies of each other. That's what I was told this week, by the way. I was an enemy. Not by anybody here. If we're listening to that, then it might be time to draw a map of our trails and figure out if the ones that we're on are going to Jesus or not. A habit is a trail. Repetition clears it, but love best be pointing us to where it goes. If love is plotting the trail, if love isn't grading the trail, if love isn't putting the guardrails up for the travelers, that if it doesn't smooth that well-worn road, the one that's really well, the wide road, the big road, will lead us to hell and we'll think it's heaven the whole time, man. The world's highway feels good underfoot, but it's not the way of God's love, period. Here's what I'm going to do this week, church, and I hope you join me in these things. I really hope you do. I'm going to do five things this week. I think I came up with five. Maybe it was just four. We'll find out. And I hope you do the same. The first one is this. I'm going to make a map.
I'm going to audit my trails.
When I catch myself acting automatically, when I start believing the first take that I hear because it flatters my side, when I start reacting to headlines because that's how I always react, when there's a topic of how people will be treated and I fall right in line with the way I always have, then I'm going to stop and look and I may just ask, does this lead to love? Is that where this leads, to grace and to mercy? First for the least of these, and then for everybody else. That's Jesus, not Jason. Which way shows grace, mercy, and hope, and not hate, and not fear, and not getting mine without thinking of you? And if I see it, if I happen to see just one step I can make, then maybe I can start a new road where I live that out instead. Second thing, I'm going to go check and see what I listen to on my road. It's time to remove ourselves from the constant outrage of propaganda and social media. It's time to remove ourselves from that, Christians. I'm not saying delete your apps. I'm not saying to keep tabs with your family. I'm not saying don't post pictures of your fantastic pets. I'm not saying that. I'm saying how much time do we listen to statements of unity like in James 3 or like in Romans 12 versus how much time do we listen to talking heads sell us rage so that they can sell us commercials? Give me meditations on goodness and love, and let's wear out some new paths and bring some others along with it. We must find a way out of the cauldron we are in, and it starts with us. Number three, we live in a world of slander. Slander is currency. Slander buys votes. Slander buys influence. Slander buys status. And if I let it, slander will buy me. Can just this week I finish the sentence when the world starts them, when the world starts with, well, those people are just, may I end it with, wonderfully made. Just like I was, man. Just like I was. And then I'll hush before I go on slandering again. Fourth thing I think I ought to do is I need to exchange in some of my convenience that I have for caring for others. If I'm making really good time, if I'm flying down life's road, if I'm kicking it and doing great and ain't got a problem in the world, it may be because I'm not carrying anybody else's load. I need to trade in some personal convenience to relieve someone else. Can I let that helping be the jolt that moves me onto a new path that I needed to walk this whole time and didn't know it? Can I care for people I've always dismissed? Can I remember to care for those that I'd rather just be apathetic about, to be honest with you? Can I walk that path again and again and again until perseverance has something to work with and joy finally shows up in my life completely? That's number five. I'm going to do it when it's not easy. I'm going to do it when it's not easy. Anybody watch the Titans today? I mean, I know if you don't, I get it. Anybody watch football today? You watch Titans today? We're going to watch it just because we're gluttons for punishment. How many hours they practice before they play one game? And the practice is the hard part. How many hours y'all practice before y'all put on your thing tonight?
A lot.
It's hard. It's difficult. You got to show up. You got to keep showing up. You got to show up day after day. You got to work hard each time on yourself. Can I do it when walking another way makes me question why I'm not walking like I always did? I'm going to do it when it goes against how I've even seen the world before. And when I do that, I'm just going to trust that if my compass point in my life points toward love, love of God first, and love of God neighbor just like it, not just neighbor either, of enemy and of stranger and of everybody. If my compass points toward love, then we will find joy, church. If I keep walking and keep walking and keep walking that path, can we inspect our paths and make sure that no one swapped the signs on us? Because that's what happens. They say this is the way of mercy, but it's not. They tell us the way is love, but it's not. Can we inspect our paths and make sure nobody swapped the signs? They told us that we're walking the way of faith when it's just walking the way of faith in the world. We should. I want nothing more this week than to please my God, church. Wife is second. Because if I please God, I'm going to please her, man. My kids. You all. I want nothing more this weekend to please my God and to fall more and more and more in love with all of God's children. That's all we want. Is to find love of God and then find a way to fall more and more and more in love with all of God's children. I want to take the first step onto that path that leads to God's glory and not to the glory of the world. How far is it to Memphis? 225 miles, 250 miles? You know how you walk there? Take one step at a time. You got to take that first one. And that's the only way you get there, church. This week, we can make some first steps, or maybe some hundred steps, or maybe some thousand steps. But we can take that first step, too, and we be wise yet again. We can find wholeness. We can find completeness. And we can find joy, and we can receive that gift of God. And it will make our habits so that we'll walk in the way of Jesus Christ in everything forevermore. Because a habit's a trail. Repetition clears it. But God's love must choose where it goes. God's people said. Amen. Our final song this morning is The Solid Rock. It's number 404. Would you please stand and sing? Brother Harold is watching online. Brother, we miss you this morning.
It's not right. You're not sitting right there. But sorry you're having a hard time walking. He is worshiping
with us from home, and that does not shock me in the least, Mr. Harold. Thank you for joining us, brother. Are there others that we need to be in prayer for this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Barb and Alan Smith. Barb's done.
Is Casey, you said? Is that?
But I don't know her last name.
I don't either. That's awesome.
But it doesn't matter.
No, we play for Alan and Barb too, because that's where the nerves are, I guarantee you. So prayers for them. That's awesome. Yeah. But others this morning we've been praying for. Who else we got? Yes, ma'am.
I want to say thank you for the prayers. My dad has started his radiation treatment, and he goes every day for 5 days, and he's off on the weekends, but he'll go with that for 30 days. And my sister-in-law went to the oncologist this week, and she said that her practitioner said that she's got an enzyme in her body or something that triggers, but everybody should carry that, and that they don't think it's anything to be alarmed about. So thank you.
Remind me their names again. I'm sorry.
Robin and Larry.
I'm sorry?
Robin and Larry.
Robin and Larry. Gotcha. Are there others this morning we need a prayer for? Yeah.
Test results.
Yeah. Suzanne had some testing run, so please be in prayer as we make sure everything is as perfect as we think it is. Others? Yes, ma'am.
Julie Lux.
Yeah. Okay. Prayers for Miss Julie. Yes, ma'am.
My brother's wife has dementia, and his health is okay, but he has a lot of aches and pains, and he can't walk well. He's had his self-care. They do well, but it's just hard.
What are the names?
Gary and Sherry Lee.
And Sherry?
Maybe Ariadne.
I'm sorry?
Ariadne.
Be in prayer for Mr. West. He was in the hospital this week. He's even home immediately. They gave him stabilized. He's at home. But please be in prayer for Mr. West. Or others. Yes, sir.
Joyce.
Be in prayer for our sister Joyce. Absolutely. Ed, continued prayers for Ed as he's moved into assisted living, and that's been, it's difficult. And Jackie, too. Help me on this. I understand that Joey's moving out, and of course, the older brother's moved out. And so Jackie's in the house by herself, and after Ed, so drop a note, give a call. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Let's have a praise. No, we're praising about it. Tell me.
I missed the announcements.
That's okay. We're praising about it. It's okay.
Bottom line that we made for this year's barbecue was 2171,
and that the session is asked that it goes to outreach. The funny out, so we put $2,000 in the bank for outreach, y'all, on the thing last weekend. So, that deserves one. Awesome. Thank you all for heading that up. Anything else? We're praying for your play today, brother.
Thank you.
Y'all have worked hard, so we pray and we'll put legs to our prayers and come see you, man. Anything else? Let's pray.
God, every Sunday morning we have the youngins, or young and however we want, bring the light in and place that light of Christ here at the altar, and as we leave, we walk out the door. Because we recognize that you're the center point of all this. There's nothing else involved in this. There's no other agendas. There's nothing else in this moment that matters other than your light. And that's why we bring prayers. Not because of some selfishness, Lord, but because we need your light in this world. And there's some things in here that need your light desperately. And we ask, Lord, that whatever way that your light be brought into these situations, placed on the altar of the lives that we pray for, no different than the children we bring the light in here. And just like that light is taken out of this room, we recognize that our prayers may put a light into us, that we got to walk out in the world and we got to show some people that light of Christ. That there's some people going through some things. That there's some people that need a phone call. There's some people that need a card. There's some people that need a hug. There's some people that need somebody to advocate for them because they're behind. Nobody else cares. There are these things that we can do because you lay them heavy on our hearts, that we will do them in your name. And so we ask, Lord, that your blessings be poured out on this prayer list, God, that it be poured out on it. But we recognize that we are on the prayer list too. For we put people here. We're in the community of faith that put them here. And if we're on that list, you may fill us up and have one talking to somebody, one loving somebody. And thank you, God, if you do that for us. We thank you, God, that there are prayers that we have mentioned, but we've not said out loud. We thank you, God, that we've been able to turn those over to you, the ones that are just too heavy to mention. But most of all, we thank you because you are the light. You are the center point. You are the beginning and you are the end and everything in the middle. And that's what we want to pray to. So we thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. And we pray in your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. And thank you for taking the light out for us, young. Go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, and go in mercy. But go walk in that new trail. And Lord, release us from this place. But Lord, never from you and never from one another. And God's people said, amen.